light and momentary. Those are the words St. Paul uses to describe suffering, to describe pain. And I don't know about you, but those are not the words that come to my mind when I am in a troublesome situation. I can think of a lot better words to use other than light and momentary, like heavy and eternal. That's what it feels like in the moment, right? When we're going through something, it feels like nothing can get us out of it, as if there's no hope, and there we are, just stuck like we're in mud. And that's where we're going to stay. Light and momentary. That's what he uses to describe the affliction he has gone through, though. And today we're really going to focus on how is it that St. Paul can say that after all that he's been through, and then hopefully come around to how is it that we can say that with all that we've gone through. But perhaps it would be better if I started with the story of someone who knows what affliction is like. There's a guy named Joseph Bondarenko. He wrote the book, The KGB's Most Wanted. It was about how he grew up under the Soviet Union's rule and how he experienced the heel of the religion of atheism, whose creed quickly became violence and cruelty in the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union tried to destroy the church from within and without. People from the state were put in positions of leadership in the church. 18 to 30-year-olds were not allowed to be baptized. The churches could not help with foster care systems or education or anything like that. Christian pastors at the time were faced with a dilemma. Do we continue to preach the gospel when the consequence is a multi-year prison sentence, and many of them just fettered under fear, but not Bondarenko. He refused to let his fear affect his faith. Day in and day out, even knowing that preaching the gospel to children and youth was a crime, he continued to do it anyway. He quickly rose to the top of the KGB's most wanted list, and finally one day they caught him. At 26 years old, he was sentenced to 3 years in a Soviet prison. I don't know if you've been in American prison, but Soviet prisons are not like American prisons. A lot worse. And think of a 26-year-old who gets thrown in there because he's proclaiming his faith. But Bondarenko looked at it as a mission. He continued to preach the gospel to his fellow captives and his prisoners, and each day people came to know Jesus Christ and the grace that Christ offers, and he baptized them. And for every new believer, for every baptism, he was beaten by the guards. He was thrown into solitary confinement. His rations of just bread and water were cut in half, and that's how he lived for the next 3 years. And when he finally got released, he went back on the street and he started doing the same thing again, preaching to young adults and children. And you know what? He got sent back to prison for another 3 years. And you know what happened in prison? He kept preaching to the prisoners and the captives, baptizing them, and kept getting beaten. He gets released after that 3 years. You know what he does? He goes back on. You'd think he'd learned his lesson. He goes back on the street and preaches again to the young adults and the children. And he goes back to prison again for another 3 years. 9 years of his life he spent in prison, not being able to work, not being to support his family. And yet, as he testifies in this book, he says, God was faithful the whole time. In the middle of all the trouble, I knew that God was there. Bondarenko's story expresses a truth to us that most of us already have figured out. See, there's an inerrant truth about trouble. There's an inerrant truth about suffering and struggles in your life. The truth about trouble is this, that there is no getting around it. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You are not going to get around suffering. What a depressing thought for a Sunday morning, right? That there's nothing that we can do that's going to get us around suffering. And in all reality, we haven't gone through what people like Bondarenko have. You know, people say Christians in America are persecuted, horse poopy. That is not true. If people start getting their heads cut off and thrown in prison for their faith, then I will say that they're persecuted. But they're not. Christians in America can be inconvenienced with cultural norms and certain laws and things like that, but we're not persecuted. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter if we're persecuted or whether we're inconvenienced, because the truth about trouble is there's no getting around it. No matter where you are going to suffer. You are going to struggle. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or a plumber or a nuclear physicist, you are gonna face trouble in your life. Depressing, right? You're waiting for me to get to the good part now. It's not coming. The truth about trouble is there's no getting around it. There is no getting around it. When the news of cancer comes, or when you get the news that your pregnancy isn't going as it should, when you lose a child in utero, when you lose a loved one that you weren't expecting to lose, when people die in your life that you really love, when you lose your job, when you have marriage problems, or when you lose your wedding ring like I did the other day on our rafting trip. This is silicone. This is fake. The Ocoee River now has my wedding ring. Trouble. That's what we experience in our life. And just the things that I listed were a few of the things that members of Grace have experienced so far this year. We could go on and just get more depressing, but that's not going to be helpful. What I'm trying to say is at the end of the day, when we feel like we're struggling in the trepid waters of trouble, like our nose is about ready to go under and we're about ready to drown, we feel like we're locked up in a prison cell and somebody's thrown away the key and we don't know how on earth we're going to get out. The truth about trouble is there is no getting around it. My 27 years of life can testify to that. I'm not trying to play a little violin here. I'm just telling you the facts. Some of you have heard this before. I was raised with a father who was a drug addict. At 2 years old, we left. My parents divorced. And on the weekends, every other weekend, I went to my dad's house. And I watched over the next 9 years as his drug problem got worse. At first, he was just okay with smoking marijuana in front of me. And then it became he was okay with doing meth. I often joke that the things I watched on TV, like Cops at my mom's house, I actually got to see in person at my dad's house. That's how it worked. I watched my mom work 3 jobs when I was a kid to be able to make ends meet. There were countless weeks on end where all we had were peanut butter sandwiches because we were so poor we couldn't even afford the jelly. I had ADHD as a kid. I was made fun of. He can testify to how difficult it is to deal with me having ADHD. You should really empathize with my wife, though. I struggled, though. I got to college, and I struggled with my identity because I never grew up with a male figure who showed me that he loved me. I didn't really know that my dad loved me. I mean, he said it, but the actions weren't there, so was it true? I mean, he made a very clear choice. He loved the drugs more than me. And so I got into things that I shouldn't in college. I know about trouble. And then I went to seminary. I served a parish in North St. Louis. I've seen countless drive-by shootings and homicides and suicides in North St. Louis. I got to hold little kids who had no dad. Got to try and help teach a young man how to shower because he did not have running water at home. This is 2015. Didn't have running water at home, never knew what taking a shower was like. I thought that becoming a pastor would be the end of my trouble. What an insane thought that was. The truth about trouble is there's no getting around it. My story testifies to that. Your story testifies to that. And Scripture's story testifies to that. See, what I love about this book is that it doesn't try and cover up the sad stories of people who, in trying to get their lives together, are just getting worse and worse and worse. The story of people who you see are just coming to their breaking point time after time after time. There's no cover-up. It's all here, page after page of raw realities of trouble and suffering and pain. Some of my favorite writings, though, about suffering and about trouble come from St. Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 4, he just lists out some of the things that he's experiencing. He says, we are afflicted in every way. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're struck down. That's not just Paul, that's all the disciples, all the apostles, all the founders of the church. All the church fathers struggled and suffered and went through pain. A lot of them even died for their faith. See, oftentimes we think that becoming a Christian changes our life in the sense that all the circumstances change, and we've talked about that. They don't. Becoming a Christian does not mean that we don't suffer anymore. The waters of baptism bring us into the family of God. They bring us the Holy Spirit and grace, but the waters of baptism do nothing to how much trouble we get into in our lives. And we experience despair and affliction and all these issues, and as we keep going, we just feel like we're drowning, and we eventually look in the mirror and we think, like, I am at my breaking point. What am I going to do now? And Satan uses that to deceive us and say, hey, God doesn't care about you. Just try and survive on your own. Try and be strong on your own. One of Satan's greatest lies is saying that you can do it on your own. You can't. And at the end of the day, you'll end up feeling like there's nothing left. Like you're at your breaking point. And Paul is no different. See, when Paul talks about the jars of clay, what he's referring to is he's essentially saying, you're all just a bunch of cheap pots. Back in Paul's day, they would have these jars of clay in their house, and they would store their goods in them, not in these expensive vases, but in the cheap ones. But they were so fragile. And that's what he uses to describe himself. That's what he uses to describe you and me, that we are a bunch of fragile pots that are easily breakable. Maybe in our modern language, he would say, I am a cracked pot and you are a cracked pot, but that cracked pot contains something special. See, because Paul knows that there is a treasure that dwells within him and within each and every person who calls on the name of Jesus Christ, a treasure that's called grace. That we know what grace is. And even though on the outside we're wasting away, for some people that's a little bit more apparent than others, on the inside we have a special gift, and it's Jesus. That Jesus promises to be with us. And so Paul is testifying at the same time that even though he's a cracked pot, his strength does not come from himself. His strength comes from above. His help is the God on high. If it were left up to him, he'd be at the end of his rope. He wouldn't just be a cracked pot, he'd be a destroyed pot. But he has faith and he has hope, and it allows him to go on and say these words, we do not lose heart. Imagine for a minute what Paul has experienced up to this point in his life with persecutions and suffering and everything else. And yet he says, we do not lose heart. You know why we don't lose heart? Because we know Jesus Christ. Because our help comes from above. And he keeps going, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And that's all because of Jesus Christ and what he does for us. And then he says, we come to these words, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, like the problems and the suffering and the pain and the drugs and the death and the diagnoses, but to the things that are unseen, the glory that awaits all who call on his name. Amen? I mean, this is what we see here in the gospel, that Jesus Christ is for us, that he's not against it, that in regards to eternity, what you are going through right now, what I'm going through right now, is a light, momentary affliction. And we know it is because Jesus has already won. Jesus has already won. So I talked about the truth about trouble is there's no getting around it, but there's a simultaneous truth that trouble will not come out victorious, because we have a God who got on the cross for our sins, who died for us, and who rose again. And if he can triumph over death, how much more can he triumph over the things that we're struggling with and we're suffering from in our life? Amen? Amen. That's the beauty of the gospel. Get excited about it. This is a Jesus for you. This is a Jesus who's met you where you are in your life and let you know that you are cared about, that you may be a cracked pot, but you are a precious cracked pot. And he's going to hold that cracked pot close. Amen? Amen? That's how it works. That's the beauty of Jesus Christ. Starting to sweat up here. I'm feeling like a Baptist again. Need a rag. Paul keeps on going, though. And he says, you know, as you suffer in your life, you carry the death of Jesus with you, that the death of Jesus Christ is manifested in you. That means that we can glorify God in our suffering. That we can glorify God, and it's because of this, because we know God came down for one reason, and that's to die for sinners so that he could call them saints. To die for broken people so that he could make them whole. And now we can glorify him in our suffering. See, I used to curse my father. I used to curse the name of God for giving me such a piece of junk dad when I was young. But praise Jesus, because of that dad, I have been able to interact with kids who had similar childhoods, who had a similar parental situation, and I've been able to guide them and say, hey, you have a God and Father who loves you more than anything else. I've been able to talk with kids who have ADHD, and they're very, the conversations go pretty fun because it's like squirrel, you know, you just admit. That's how ADHD works, folks. I've been able to talk with people who struggle with their identity. I've been able to talk with people who are dealing with suicidal thoughts and ideations. In the time that I was going through that trouble, it did not feel light and momentary. It felt heavy and eternal. But looking back now, that's light and momentary. And in retrospect, how small it is in regards to what God has in store for each and every person who calls on his name. That's how it works. That we can glorify God in the midst of the hell that we're going through. Let me just end with this, because I didn't talk about it much. In verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Paul says that light shines out of darkness, and he's referring to God's words in Genesis 1, 3, where God looks at the dark world and he says, let there be light. And the beauty is that Jesus Christ becomes that light in his death on the cross and in his resurrection from the dead. And the beauty about that light is it makes everything transparent. So often within the church, we try and be translucent. We'll let you see a little bit, but not everything. We want to look good. We want to talk right. We want to do our worship in the appropriate way, right? No, this is not a country club. This isn't a perfect place. I'm not perfect. He's not perfect at all. We're not perfect. None of you are perfect. If you came here looking for the perfect church, if you came here thinking that you have your life together, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but we're not perfect and neither are you. We're broken. But when the light of Christ shines on us and we experience the grace of Jesus Christ, things start to change. And we become okay with being transparent because transparency makes us more authentic people. And so we can go around and we don't have to hide ourselves anymore. We don't have to hide our pain and our suffering. When people say, how's your day going? You can say, man, it's going crappy. But I know a God who suffered for me, and I know a God who's going to get me through this. You see how you can, it's just about the way you look at things. How are you looking at it? I would challenge you to think about right now, who is it in your life that needs to experience your transparency? Who is it that needs to experience your authenticity? Who is it that needs to know that you don't have your life put together? And Christianity is not about people who have their lives figured out. It's about broken people who rely on Jesus Christ for their strength because our help comes from above. Who is it in your life that needs to experience the same light that God has shown to you? Think about it. And always remember that Jesus loves you. So do I.